So you think you understand worship, right? Been worshiping all your life. There is so much to know. Robert Weber is a guy who, a scholar, he's written a series on worship. Literally, it's that long on the shelves. Just nothing but worship. And there are things we just kind of do. We kind of know why we do them. Maybe we don't. Sometimes worship's really working for us. Sometimes it isn't. But I would maintain to you today that worship is more profound and more wonderful than you likely recognize. The Greek word most commonly used for worship, y'all know it? So this is the first thing you didn't know, right? It's proskuneo. It means to bow down. And, you know, Muslims do that today. It's part of their tradition. They bow down. Jews, they go to the Wailing Wall and they do this. They're bowing down. There's not much bowing down that goes on in Protestant churches today. But the core meaning is to bow down. It's to show that honor, that glory, that just immense respect for God. William Temple said, and this is a quotation, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God." You could dwell on that for a while. "To feed the mind by the truth of God." "To purge the imagination by the beauty of God." "To open the heart to the love of God." "To devote the will to the purpose of God." Yeah, you totally got all that, right? That's good. But it is way more profound than that. Way more profound. Jesus brought a complete revolution to worship. That is not an exaggeration, okay? Jesus brought a complete revolution to worship. Now, you think, well, yeah, Pastor Randy probably knows what he's talking about. Really, there's so much more that I could say about that, and I will say a little bit about that today. But Jesus changed worship forever. Forever. And you may not even realize that. We begin with a story. You know the story. It's familiar. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But Jesus was tired from a long journey, so he found himself at a place called Samaria, Jacob's well. And there at Jacob's well, he met a woman, a Samaritan woman, who was there by herself drawing water in the middle of the day. And they had an engaging conversation. Big, long conversation. We're just going to pick up with a little bit of it. John chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Mount Gerizim is visible from Jacob's well." So she was pointing. And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor on that Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews." So he's making a point, because there was a division between Jews and Samaritans about this. Here's the key thought. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, so this Samaritan woman rightly noted there's a difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans built their temple on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews built their temple under Solomon on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. But Mount Gerizim's temple had been destroyed for 200 years. It was a ruins, but the temple in Jerusalem was still there. Now, I mentioned this briefly at the beginning of a service one time. We're talking about a hymn, and I just kind of said this. I'm going to expand it a little bit more. Temples were extremely important to ancient people. Still are to some people today. But extremely important to ancient people. In ancient Hebrew thinking, the temple is the place where heaven and earth meet. All right? We often have a conception as here's earth and heaven is way, 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 way out there. Somewhere out beyond space or somewhere out there. But in Hebrew thinking, earth and heaven meet at the temple. And the heaven is where God reigns. The earth is where God reigns, and they are connected right at the temple. You literally can move from one to the other at the temple. Okay? It's not something way out there. It's right here at the Holy of Holies in this place. The two realms meet right there. Did you know that? You did, because I told you several weeks ago. But did you know that? The Holy of Holies was the doorway to God. And if you wanted to walk with God, if you wanted to be close with God, there had to be a portal where heaven and earth meet. And that portal was the Holy of Holies. There's also, remember, you know, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. Remember that? There was a little portal there. And Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. A doorway. And the temple brought access to the people of God. It was central to their life. So the Samaritan woman saying, Gerizim or Jerusalem? And Jesus is saying, nah. Jesus explained that the doorway between heaven and earth would no longer be a temple on a mountain. Not on Gerizim. Not in Jerusalem. Not in Mecca. Nowhere. The doorway would be Jesus himself. The doorway would be Jesus himself. Now, this is where it gets profound. Early in his ministry, Jesus called himself the temple. As he cast the money changers out of the temple, remember that incident in John? Jews challenged his authority to do that. How dare you come in this place and, you know, clean house? John 2, 18 to 21, this is what Jesus said. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. You're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Jesus was cryptically pointing toward the revolution he was bringing to worship. It hadn't happened yet. It was just almost there. Through his death and resurrection, we would be able to have access to God through the temple, Jesus. Not a portal in the Holy of Holies, not on Gerizim, not on Zion, but Jesus himself is the portal, the doorway between heaven and earth, where God reigns and where God reigns through him. getting deep? Now, for first century Jews, Sabbath worship at the temple was the foundation of their spiritual lives. There at the temple, on the Sabbath day, you would meet God. And there was a sacrificial system that they had where they'd sacrifice doves and rams and lambs and sheep, all these different animals, so that people could enter that access of the Holy of Holies to the priest and the sacrifice made. But no longer would lambs be repeatedly sacrificed at the temple. Jesus himself would be that sacrifice. Not all these lambs you bring so that you can have this portal on Zion, but he himself would be the sacrifice. Hebrews 10, 11 to 14, several other passages in Hebrews talk about this, but says, day after day, everyone performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They're just a shadow of what it was to come. Okay? But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So access to God would no longer be at the temple through the Holy of Holies. It would be through Jesus himself. Jesus, sacrificial lamb. He was also the high priest and the temple. You hear that? He is the high priest. He is the sacrifice and he is the temple. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus is the portal, the doorway between heaven and earth. And that's what Jesus' statement means in John 14, 6. Jesus answered, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the next part, no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. He is the portal. He is that place where heaven and earth meet. But it's not a building made with hands. It's Jesus himself. Dead, resurrected. The gateway between where God reigns in heaven and where God reigns on earth. Told you it was profound. Jesus stands unique in all of history. There's no person anywhere, anytime that can make this claim. Now, going a little further. When the Jewish leaders confronted Jesus and his disciples about picking grain on the Sabbath day, their holy day, Jesus' response was astonishing. It was so astonishing that were claims like this that led the Jewish leaders to kill Jesus. But they didn't kill him alone. It took the Romans and all of our sins too. Matthew 12, 6, Jesus said, I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. He was saying, this temple, which is the portal, the doorway, the place where heaven and earth meets, I'm greater than that. No wonder they were upset. He added in Matthew 12, 8, a couple verses down, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath was given by God, right? One of the Ten Commandments, right? If Jesus says he is the Lord of the Sabbath, who is he? God. God. Temple was a portal of God. Jesus claimed he was greater than the temple. The Sabbath was the foundation of the Jewish worship. Jesus claimed he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Since Jesus was a perfect sacrifice, the high priest, temple, greater than the temple, and the Lord of the Sabbath, the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to God, he's all of that. Wow. He's not just some guy who taught in Palestine. It's profound. It's revolutionary. It's wonderful. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, true worshipers would no longer meet God in a temple building. They would worship in spirit and in truth. This is a revolution that no self-respecting Jew could understand. And it's something we take for granted. You know, there's probably today we got less than half the congregation overall here today. So we take it for granted too. So no big deal. We're just going to come. Just another Sunday. Worship would be fundamentally spiritual. As Jesus is saying, spiritual. It would be the connection between our human spirits and God's spirit. It's more than singing songs. It's more than reading scriptures. It's more than hearing some guy talk up front. But it's a fundamental connection between the human spirit and God's spirit. It's spiritual. And I would say today, being honest, I probably connected with God like maybe 15, 20 times briefly today. It wasn't like really intense, full connection for me the whole time, but it wasn't disconnection either. But there's times when you're just kind of in it and you say, okay, I'm kind of like there. I'm like experiencing God. And other parts, maybe mind's wandering, microphone screaming, whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about? Is there anybody getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And just as Jesus has become our temple, our portal to God, so also God has chosen through Jesus to dwell in us through the Holy Spirit. Now it gets deeper. We weren't deep yet. We're going deeper. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And God's Spirit lives in you. So Jesus is the temple through which we have access to God. And then God lives in us too. So we ourselves have that connection with God. We are that temple. Us. There's somebody sitting next to you who was holy because God is living in them through Christ. And the Spirit. And so we're inspired by God's Holy Spirit to bow before the Lord and worship, adoration, and praise. Getting deep? So let's try to put this together in simple and we'll just move on a little bit. So in community with other believers, through the access granted by Jesus, who is the door, the way between heaven and earth, inspired by the Holy Spirit who was given to us by Jesus and lives within us, we bow down and worship before Almighty God, who is our Creator, Savior, and Lord, with our whole selves. It's profoundly spiritual and it is incredibly relational because we are the people of God in relationship with one another, but drawn near to God the Father through Jesus in the Spirit. It's profound. Oh, but I've got something better to do. Maybe I should be texting my friend. Don't get it. When you experience God at the portals, when your spirit and the Holy Spirit who is within you connects with the Spirit of God through Christ, and you're there and you're connected, it's nothing like it. I know there's a lot of Christians who have never really worshiped. Seriously. They've gone to church. They've sung the hymns. But they've never really experienced that dynamic. Spirit to spirit worship that God wants for us. The Holy Spirit is in us and inspires us. And we are not limited by temple buildings or the sacrifices of priests. Through the access granted to God by Jesus, we have the privilege to worship God, not just on this mountain or on that mountain or in that building, but everywhere. I told you Jesus revolutionized worship. I wasn't kidding. I meant what I said. This was new. And for a lot of people, it still is, because they still don't get it. Psalms 139, 6 to 10 reminds us, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far sides of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. No deer by the well, not on this mountain, not on that mountain. But in spirit. And we can be spiritually connected with God in a sanctuary like we are today. And like I say, I have my times. Now, some Sundays I'm more into it than others. Some Sundays it's more conducive, some Sundays not. But it's really more about how prepared I am than about really what happens up front. Or we can worship God spirit to spirit in a field or on a mountain or in a hospital while we're sick or while we're driving our cars or everywhere we go. And we can live in constant relationship with the Lord and we can worship in spirit, and I believe that's what God wants. I really believe that if we were really following, if we were really connecting, if we're really walking with God, we would have a near constant awareness of his presence. And there would be something within us worshiping. Something within us connecting. And amazing things would happen. And do. We also worship in truth. The phrase means in a true way. With sincerity, with genuineness. We could talk about the truth, like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. It's really not talking about that. It's talking about a genuineness, a sincerity, an honesty of spirit. Where the real you meets the real Jesus. And in the spirit, that's in spirit and in truth. Because it's real. It's you're not putting on a show, well, look at me, look how I wave my hands. Look at me, look how deep I bow. No, it's nothing like that. It's genuine. It's honest. It's sincere. It's truth. It's transparent. And so we are honest and real and sincere and genuine with the God who made us and loved us. It's not about performance. It's not about great singing. It's not about fancy buildings or fancy light shows, any kind of show at all. It's not about a well-ordered bulletin or a whiz-bang worship team. It's not about any of that. It's about normal, everyday human beings connecting in our spirits in a genuine and real way with the God who made us, who loves us, who died for us, who rose again from the dead to give us hope, who has prepared a place for us in glory where we will worship forever. Honest, real. It's the foundation for all we hope to become and do. Because only as we experience God and we are connected with God are we free to become the persons God made us to be. You and I are made to worship. But it's more than just coming to church and singing a song. It's way more. Jesus said in Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's worship. The focused love of a heart in communion with God, transformed by Christ, inspired by the Spirit, is moved to worship, and it becomes a passion of our lives. And if you want to know if you're passionate about God and if you're really living for God, just ask yourself, do I worship? And I'm not talking about more than are you at church on any given Sunday morning. Do you worship? Like Janine described this morning when she said, the window experience. And the Holy Spirit was there. And she just, it was, you worshiped. That's why we're here. That transforms us, that remakes us, that empowers us, that sustains us, that gives us a new focus, that gives us a spiritual power. So how do we worship in spirit and truth? We can do it when we gather in the sanctuary. I think it's really good to gather in the sanctuary because it's focused time. You know, hopefully we lay a lot of other stuff aside and we just focus. Focus is hard. So that's a real advantage there. It's also community time, where everybody's experience of God is together, and that just buttresses the whole experience of being one voice before the Lord. But we also worship in spirit and truth when we celebrate God's presence in our personal devotional times. When we're connecting with the Spirit as we read or as we meditate or as we pray. And we worship in spirit and truth when we see that beautiful iridescent butterfly. We're awed by the ocean's waves pounding upon the shore. And we pause not just to see the waves or to hear the waves, but to experience the Creator. Like Susan said about the little flower. And she took the picture and she showed me, she says, how could you look at that and not believe that there was a Creator? That's right. We worship in spirit and in truth when we are reading the Scripture and we allow the Scripture to leap off the page into our hearts. And it's as though all those words in that page, there's just that one little phrase or that one little line, and we know God is speaking directly to us. That's a word for me. I needed to hear that. Oh, that's right. We worship in spirit and in truth when we are with a person and we can sense God in our midst carrying us along in that place. And we can see, feel, hear, it's palpable, we can touch it, how God is using us to bring peace or healing or hope to one who needs it. And it's a holy thing. And when God is using you in that place, you're in spirit and in truth. When you lead that wayward soul back to God, when God is just there. A couple times this last couple days, Susan and I found ourselves in a situation where we met strangers. I think the first time it was probably, an hour and a half? Well, we just stood there and listened. And the next day, another hour and a half, where we just stood there and listened. And for whatever reason, these strangers just poured out their lives. And God was there hearing them, because God was in the midst of us, in that temple, in that portal between heaven and earth, where human spirit and God's spirit touch, where human souls interact. Pardon? Oh, it completely changed our agenda twice in 2 days. But God's agenda is often not our agenda. All of life becomes holy. All of life becomes possibility and opportunity. All of life is infused with the Spirit and with the knowledge that this is the house of God. We are at the portals of heaven right here in this place, whether it's in Virginia or Pennsylvania or Florida, whether it's in a hospital room, wherever it is. There is a spirit, and there is a sincerity, and there's a truth, and there's a revolution that happens because God and humanity touch in spirit. And that's the revolution that Jesus brought for us. We don't have to go to Mount Gerizim, and we don't have to go to Mount Zion. We certainly don't have to go to Mecca, because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the portal. He is the doorway that heaven and earth meet, and we get to live right there. Yeah. Our hearts erupt. Spontaneous gratitude, praise, awe, adoration. Stuart Hines' 1953 hymn says it so well. It's Lorraine's favorite. She happens to be here today. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and then this marvelous verse, and when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Worship is profound and wonderful. So today and tomorrow and always. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.